Well, this morning, unless you're blind, you will have noticed that the church is decorated for Christmas. And I just want you to know, how much I appreciate that. It lifts my spirit. I'm a Christmas guy. I like it, and I just appreciate and was amazed at the skill and the speed at which this happens, this transformation. So just thank you so much. At the risk of sounding like Ebenezer Scrooge or the Grinch or anything like that, I want us to just ask ourselves for a moment, what is Christmas? What is Christmas? What is it that caused God in heaven to take on the form of a human being to come to the earth? And the question that goes along with that, what was the condition of the world that would make God do such a thing? Years ago, I listened to a sermon by a man named Ron Johnson. He was a Baptist minister. And he was talking about the darkness of Christmas. And I thought, what kind of a message can this be? But as I prepared for this sermon this morning, sharing of God's word, I realized that a lot of what he said was really true, because there was not a lot of happiness going on at the time that Jesus came to give birth. You know, we talk about Nazareth because we know that it's recorded in the Bible, and that's where Jesus grew up as a boy. But archaeologists have done some work in the area of Nazareth that would reveal that most of the bones that were found and the tests that were taken on them revealed that they were undernourished in Nazareth. And so when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, quite possibly her concern wasn't about having a child out of wedlock, it was whether this child would even survive or not, because that was the case of so many in the area of Nazareth. Also, not very far from Nazareth, in fact, from eyeshot, there was a city set on a hill called Sepphoris. How many of you ever heard of Sepphoris? Sepphoris was a castle or a city that was built by King Herod the Great that was a shimmering example of his handiwork. You could see it for miles. And it was the major city of that area. Now, today we don't hear about Sepphoris, do we? But we hear about Nazareth. Nazareth was just a little place in the dust where a few poor people lived. But Nazareth has gained notoriety because it's recorded in the Bible. Sepphoris is not. And the reason that Sepphoris is not, because it was erected to the glory of man. And Nazareth was dedicated to the boyhood of God himself. As we look back into the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, we find another king. His name was Ahaz, and he reigned from 744 BC to 715 BC, approximate dates. And there were two kings, the king of Aram, Rezin, and Pekah, the king of Israel, Ephraim, had united, and they were going to attack Ahaz, and they were going to divide the spoil. And we find this in chapter 7 of the book of Isaiah. And one of the instructions that Isaiah gave to Ahaz through the word of God, it says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. I think those words ring true to us today too, as we live in our faith. And if we do not stand firm in our faith, we will not stand at all. And so in the midst of this trouble, in the midst of the threat of annihilation, Ahaz beseeches God. And Isaiah is sent to speak to Ahaz at the pool. And these are the words that ultimately ring out for us today as we explore these scriptures. Isaiah told Ahaz that he could ask the Lord anything, anything for a sign. And Ahaz, knowing God and not wanting to put God to the test because he was a history student and he knew that the children of Israel in the wilderness wanderings put God to the test and they were taken to task for it. And so his response was, I am not going to put the Lord my God to the test. And here's Isaiah's response. It says, then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. This was 700 years approximately before the angel Gabriel came in the Gospel of Luke to a town in Nazareth to a virgin named Mary. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy that God made to Ahaz. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me, be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. What a wonderful meeting, right? Well, let's think about that a moment. That's a very enchanting account of the angel coming and the brightness of our Christmas and the lack of depth of our understanding of Christmas would say, wow, what a story. What a blessing for Mary. A blessing? Really? It wasn't very far back or very far later that there was a woman taken in adultery in the Gospel of John that was brought before the rulers, and she was an adulteress, and they were asking Jesus what they should do with her. Because they said the law of Moses said that she should be stoned. Now the angel Gabriel comes to this virgin Mary in the town of Nazareth and says, you're going to become pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Great news. Because now she is subject to being stoned. And the knowledge that this son, whom people would maybe think was Joseph's son, but obviously could not be Joseph's sons, went off to the hill country of Judea to be with Elizabeth, who was in her sixth month. Now, why would Mary leave and go to the hill country to Elizabeth's if this was such a great thing? And we'll have to go back to the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the 18th verse of chapter 1. And it begins like this, and this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now the knowledge of the Holy Spirit was not yet fully known. But it was fully known that Mary was with child. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be something that might interfere with a relationship It might be grounds not to get married because Joseph knew that it was not his child, because he was a faithful and righteous and just man. And it says that in verse, starting in verse 9. He says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Good news for Mary, right? You're going to be filled with the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything in her society, everything, the law, their customs, their people, the thinking of the people, was going to become negative as Mary received. And remember what Mary said, may it be to me as you have said, I am your servant. Can you see the cost of being God's servant? And just by the way, remember when Jesus was in back in Nazareth and he was trying to do some miracles and he was trying to proclaim the word of God there? And they says, don't we know this man? Don't we know where he came from? What picture does that build in your mind? Mine says, we know you're an illegitimate child. And you claim to be the Son of God? You're performing these miracles? There's got to be an obvious answer for that. You're from the devil. That's not a very bright picture of Christmas. We don't see that in the nativity that we see displayed, do we? We don't see the tensions and the struggle and the darkness. But we do see the need that we have. And as Mary went to the hill country, I wonder what was going through her mind about how she was going to be shunned by her family, how her whole life was going to change. How could someone believe that the very God who created the universe came to her and said that you're going to be my mother? And I'm going to come like every other human being comes into this world. I'm going to be a baby. Now, who's going to buy that? Are you going to believe it? There's people in the world today that do not believe it. And some of them even go to church. But that's how God did it. And that's how God fulfilled it. And you know, it wasn't until the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the full knowledge of who Jesus was came to be. Because Jesus grew up in Nazareth, obedient to his father and mother after one little episode in the temple, which really he wasn't obedient or disobedient, but he was there in his father's house and he was conversing with the scribes and the Pharisees, those who knew everything, and he was teaching them what it was really like. And he grew up there in Nazareth. And the Bible tells us in the Gospels that even his brothers did not believe in him. Can you imagine this thing that Mary knew, that she kept in her heart, that consumed him not just with who her son is, but who and how he would be treated? Every woman wants her child to grow up to be identified as an illegitimate child, right? But that was part of the reality, what she faced. That was part of the rejection that Jesus experienced. But yet there was something greater at play. Something that far outweighed the inconvenience and the uncomfortableness and the disrespect that Mary and Jesus both received. And that need was us. That need was every human being that no longer could recognize what light was. Because part of the prophecy of Jesus was those who have lived in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in a land of great darkness, a light has dawned. And in John, the first chapter, and we shared it in Sunday school class this morning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, There's nothing that has been made that was made without. Look in the pew. Look in the mirror this morning. You're a part of what's been made, and you are a direct creation of Almighty God Himself. And it goes on to say, in Him was life, and that life became the light of men. And then just a few verses after he talks about John being a witness to that light, he says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. I'm not sure. I didn't look up what that word light means. But I believe that that is the reason, the logic, the sanity of all humanity in our thinking. And as poor Mary was on her way to see Elizabeth in the hill country of Judea, I'm sure these things weighed upon her mind. But in the darkness of her thought, in the moment that she greeted Elizabeth, and as Mary's voice reached Elizabeth, John, Elizabeth, the impossible child, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth recognized immediately the glory of God that was in the womb of Virgin Mary. And Mary goes on to do the magnificent, a wonderful piece of scripture. And out of the voice of all that could happen, all that could go wrong, in the face of all the attitude that people would have towards her, she praised God because she saw within this very moment, within this very act, God's salvation for His people. And He saw in this very child God's faithfulness to His promises to His people from generation to generation. Remember what the promises were to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all of the nations on earth will be blessed through you. You think Mary didn't understand the prophecies of God, the faithfulness of God, and the fulfillment of God in this traumatic time in her life that God orchestrated for you and for me? Jesus came in the complete and total innocence of who God truly is. Completely holy, completely just, completely innocent. And His call to us has always been to be completely holy, to be completely just, to be perfect. Most of us in this room miss the mark. And the profound accomplishment of Almighty God through the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ, was the fulfillment and the ability for us to once again regain what we have lost. And not only do we get to regain what we've lost, Jesus came to show us where to look for it. Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Who would imagine that the way and the truth and the life would be an ordinary child born in the humble town or village of Nazareth that would grow to be a man that would change the world, that would change our world? These prophecies, although we read so glibly sometimes, have depth to them, importance to them, relevance to us, that often we don't see. That as we gaily sing the Christmas carols, as we observe and enjoy the bright lights, The true brightness of Christmas shines out of darkness and need, spiritual hunger and thirst. It arises out of depravity, of sinfulness, of wickedness, to give man that great realization of the hope of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yes, 700 years from the time that Isaiah spoke to Ahaz, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and fulfilled a prophecy that began the journey to Bethlehem that changed the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for the larger picture of a beautiful, beautiful story. Not a story, a record. A record of what you did, a record of what you do, a record of who you are. And we know that the filling of the Gospels of our New Testament share the full revelation of the life of Jesus that is applied to each and every one of our lives as a choice that we get to make. My prayer is in this Christmas season, as we approach the day that we celebrate your birth, that we will truly experience the wonder of your presence inside of us. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.